He's one half of the comedy duo Cheech and Chong, and they're performing tonight in my hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba. A fellow Canadian, Tommy Chong, is joining us on the line. Hello there.
Hello there,
eh? Hey. Well, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to Canada. I should ask, how often are you in Canada?
Not often enough, but often enough, but, you know, I like coming up here now because I come up here and collect a little bit of money, perform, and then go home back to L.A.
Right.
But it's, Winnipeg was quite a shock getting off that plane. you know, you're dressed for California, and next thing you know, ooh, it's chilly.
And the timing is perfect because officially the first real snowfall was just, I think, the day or two before. So you get there, perfect timing.
Yeah, it looked like when we were landing, I looked out and all you seen was white. It looked like, you know, the great thing about the snow, it covers up all the imperfections of a place.
Right.
And so when you come into, it looked like winter wonderland. It was beautiful.
That's the thing, right? When you have the fall colors, it's great when the red and the orange and everything starts, but then once they're, you know, brown and dead on the ground, yeah, you're right, the snow covers it up. It's good.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then the sky is clear at night, and you can see the stars. Oh, it's gorgeous.
And we were just talking before we went on the air that, you know, with Christmas coming, there's nothing like a nice snowy Christmas.
Oh, man. Yeah, my habit... you know the Amazon Alexa, you know that music, or Siri, or Alexa.
Yeah, the one that's listening to everything we do.
I do Alexa, and I say, Alexa, play Silent Night, and then I name off all the different singers, and I just make my whole house sound like Christmas. Beautiful.
Oh yeah, we mentioned Canada, and I know I imagine you've been asked hundreds of times about this whole legalization thing, right? So tell me what your thoughts are. Imagine you're happy that Canada is being a leader in the legalization of cannabis.
Well, I kind of take responsibility.
You should.
You know, I'm a Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm a Canadian. I think I was the most famous for being busted for selling bongs in America. Mm-hmm. And I started my career in Calgary. And I smoked my first joint in 1957 in Calgary when it was legal because no one knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was no marijuana alert out anywhere. And then, you know, it became very highly illegal because it was a racist law right from the get-go. And so now that it became legal, and thank God Canada was the first, because it just shows you how innocent Canada is. And once it became legal, this company in Victoria flew me up on a private jet to Victoria to celebrate the legalization, and it's been a blast ever since. You know, and Canada has the stock market. You know, because it's legal in the Canadian government, you can trade on the stock, and so all the people from the states are coming up to Canada and partaking in the stock market. So,
right.
It's really mind-boggling. And the good or the bad news is that it'll probably shorten Cheech and Chong's career because, you know, we were totally based on pot being illegal.
Right. Now, you know, this we talk entertainment and pop culture on the show, and we don't really get political, but did you think that Canada would allow it nationally before the U.S.? Because when I was growing up, I always thought, hey, you know what, in the States, they're more progressive, they're more with the times, Canada is a little bit more reserved and uptight. Did you see us beating the States to the punch nationally?
Well, you got to remember, like, Canada is like one big state.
Right. That's true.
The States. Mm-hmm. And in California, there's all Washington and Portland, you know, we had medical marijuana back in 1988 in California, where you could get pot medically. And so we were ahead of the game there because Jack Herrera, the pot activist that wrote "The Emperor Wears No Clothes," him and I, he called me up when it was medically illegal, and we got a medical big letter from the doctor Eidelman, Dr. Richard Eidelman, And then we had it, we took it to Kiko and had the letter shrunk into a card. And so Jack and I each had our own medical marijuana card. And when I got busted for bongs, I showed them my card, and of course the feds just laughed at me. But yeah, the thing is about Canada, being the government, I love the government. I mean, they got some kinks, some weird things going on. Like I said, they won't allow celebrity endorsements.
Right.
We're going to let that slide for a little while, and then I'm going to take them to court and find out, let the court decide why a Canadian boy like Tommy Chong can't promote his own pot.
Right.
Because that seems to violate some kind of Canadian freedom that I know I must have somewhere. But marijuana, the reason it's legal is because they found out it's a medicine. Mm-hmm. It's a very effective medicine. It's not just a they call it recreational in order to get that, so they can bypass the tax exemption that you get on medical, medicine. And so by calling it recreational, they can tax it like they tax beer or whiskey, alcohol. And that's the only reason. So, because I'm somewhat of an expert on marijuana because, I've been smoking it and studying it for so long. And it's been my observation that all marijuana use is medical because it calms the spirit, calms the mind. And that's what, in the Army, they have a thing called R&R, which is rest and recreation. And it's a medical term because when you're on the front lines and you need to rest and recreation, that's where marijuana falls right into that category.
There was a lot of concern that when legalization happened that all of a sudden people are going to start using it all the time, and there's all these educational campaigns and
that's so funny. That really cracks me up because you can't OD on marijuana. Believe me, I tried a few times. And what it does, like I said, if you take too much marijuana, you will go to sleep. It will put you in a coma, a healthy coma, by the way.
Right.
You see, medically speaking, here's what happens when you smoke pot. It calms the mind, and the way it does it just puts you in the moment. You can't remember people's names. You can't remember what you're supposed to, where you're going at the time. You got to be careful when you're driving, because I know myself, sometimes I'll smoke a joint and I'll go to drive to the store and I'll get half a block and I'll forget where I'm going. And I'll say, where am I going? And then I'll forget where I am. And so what pot does, it puts you right in the moment. Mm-hmm. If you're in the middle of making love to your girlfriend or your wife, it just makes that moment so much better. Or if you're in the middle of listening to some really good rap or pop or jazz music, then that music really speaks to you. Or if you're in the middle of writing something, then your comedy or whatever you're writing gets that much better. So it's such a positive substance. That and it was legal forever. Mm-hmm. It was medicine forever. The Chinese had it listed as medicine 5,000 years ago. So what's happening? The world is really getting hip, catching up with the past, and it's a good thing.
Right, and I'm being told that we do need to say that the Manitoba government does not endorse people smoking or using marijuana and then getting behind the wheel. We need to say that as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, absolutely.
So let's just talk about...
The only problem you get usually is that you might get a ticket for going too slow. So it's not like the same as alcohol. And that was the only beef I have against Canada, is because the Canadian straight people that don't know what the hell they're talking about, they think marijuana is like another beer or something. Mm. It's not. It's totally different. It's a medicine that should be, you should not operate heavy equipment. You should not do anything on that you're not used to doing. But for health purposes and for recreation and for sleeping, for medicine, for curing all sorts of ailments, I recommend it. And I also recommend that people ask me all the time, you know, what should I smoke? What, I got this wrong, I got that wrong. And I tell everybody, you've got a phone, use it. Google marijuana. Google it right now. Find out everything you can about it, and then go for it, because everybody's different.
So I would say, then if somebody does ask you, so in full disclosure, I've never tried it. So if I were to come to you and say, where do I begin? You would tell me to Google it, or would you give me some advice? What could you tell me?
Well, yeah, for sure. I would say learn about it, you know, yeah. Study it, know what you're doing. You know, don't put stuff in your body that you don't know what's going to do to you,
right.
You know. I used to joke, I said, the only drug I'd take is anything given to me by a naked lady, you know, but that's just me. So what I would tell you is that, you know, maybe you're not ready for it, you know, because like I say, it will put you in the moment. Now, if you're in a good moment in your life, you know, you're not fearful, because a lot of times people, they get the, you know, they believe all the hype and the lies that they spread about marijuana, you know, where it makes you, you know, want to kill your wife or something. You know, it depends on who's smoking it. Now, if you're a serial killer, it'll probably give you some ideas how to kill better. But if you are like an artist, if you're an artist or a writer or a songwriter or a rapper for sure, you know, that's how they get all those rhymes. If you ever listen to rap music, man, it's so intricate and it's so genius. It's poetry. It's pure poetry to music. And it has messages, it has all kinds of things that going on, and that is all marijuana induced. And so unless, if you're a rapper, like you yourself, you know, you ask me, well, if you've never smoked it before, well, maybe you shouldn't, you know, because it's not on your menu.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't. But if you are curious about it, well, then try it. Try a little bit. Try some CBD oil. You know, that doesn't have THC, and so you can smoke a CBD joint and not get high, but it'll make you feel good. Make you feel happy.
Right.
You see, they used to call it wacky weed because it made you happy, it made you laugh. That's why Cheech and Chong, we were so popular, because we did our humor for the marijuana smokers. And so you'd get high listening to Cheech and Chong and laugh until you cried at the stupidest things.
Right.
And so it's a happy, it's wacky weed, it's happy weed.
Yeah.
And if you're afraid of that, you know, if you're paranoid or schizophrenic or any of that, then I would say no, don't go near it. You know, don't touch it. But if you're normal and you want to try it, and like I say, if you got a female or you know, or a male, whatever, whoever your lover is, hey, that's a good time to start right there.
Yeah.
You remember Woody Allen's movie Annie Hall? I think it was.
Yeah.
Remember, Annie Hall would only make love to Woody Allen when she'd have to smoke a joint.
Right.
It kind of made Woody feel weird. You know, how come you have to get high to make love to me? And I wanted Annie Hall to say, have you looked in the mirror lately? You know, but you just got to, you got to feel things out. It's like life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody wants to dive off the high board.
Right. Yeah, and it's no different than people who just have no interest in alcohol, right? There's some people who have never had a sip in their life just because it's not of interest to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the tour you guys are on, because you had split up 20 years or so, 20, 25 years?
Ago, yeah.
Yeah.
We split up in 84,
and then
you got back together again in 08, I guess it was.
Yeah. Was it weird when you were you able to pick up where you left off, like no time had passed back then?
It was like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
You know, like we were supposed to have a rehearsal. And we just looked at each other, kind of laughed, says, okay, let's go do the job. And because it's all improv. And it just fell in. It was so easy. The only thing we had to do, thank God, is include my wife into the. We're like a trio now.
Right.
There's Cheech and Chong and Shelby. And Shelby and I, we were together almost, doing comedy for close to 20, let's see. Close to 20 years. And so then when Cheech and I got back together again, she had to be, it was mine, you know, my call that Shelby had to be part of the show. Well, she's a big part of the show. She opens for us, and then she stays out there with us, and then she enables us to stay together. And like she goes out in between our acts. Because before Cheech and I had to split up, he'd do a solo, I'd do a solo, and then we'd do one together, and then, you know, we'd split up. But with Shelby, she comes out, kind of does a little bit in between while we're changing, and then, so you get to see Cheech and Chong one bit after another until an hour and a half went by, and you've been totally entertained.
So I was going to say, I was going to ask what people can expect, you know, because I think you're how old now? 80 years old? And so, is this still classic Cheech and Chong, even though you're 80 now?
Yeah, well, it's a stoner 80.
Okay.
So I still, you know, I stopped maturing when I turned 17, I believe.
All right.
And I've kept the same mindset ever since, because that's when I started smoking pot. And the minute I started smoking pot, I knew that there were great things ahead for me in my life, and I quit school. I had, you know, I worked every kind of terrible job you could get. And in the meantime, I always played music. I've been playing music since I was 10. And so I always played, I always played for dances, I always played for money. And pretty soon, I became a Motown musician. And then when I got fired from the band, I went back, and that's when I started Cheech and Chong. I've always known, there was something inside me that told me that there was greatness awaiting for me, because I never once did anything just for the money. In fact, it was always for the people. And one time, in Calgary, for instance, our first band, when we got we formed our band, we needed a place to play. And so we formed a teen club. and because we had a chartered teen club, we could rent the halls, and we were protected by this teen club charter. Like, it wasn't a solo promoter promoting a gig. It was a bona fide teen club. And so we operated in Calgary for almost a year. And then, because we were so popular, we would pack the Legion Hall on 9th Avenue in Calgary every Saturday night. But because of the liquor laws, we had to close at 12 midnight. And then there would be a couple of hundred crazy teenagers looking for something to do after the dance. And they would go to parties, and there'd be fights, and there'd be all sorts of mischief going on. And so the mayor of Calgary, Don McKay at the time, called us in his office, and the chief of police was there, and the head of the Legion Hall were there, and they told us that we had to get out of town during the Christmas holidays. And so we said, all right. So we went to Vancouver, and we never came back. We just kept on trucking after that.
Well, you keep on trucking. So we said you're 80 years old. Most people have, long retired 10, 15 years earlier. Why are you still working? Why are you still doing this?
Well, you got to see, take a look at the show. It's just a fun show.
Yeah.
We have so much fun. You're making people laugh, and you're laughing yourself. And then I work with my wife, and she's so gorgeous that, I just watch her on stage. She's so beautiful, and she's so funny. And Cheech has always been, I love Cheech because I could, you know, play tricks on Cheech on stage, and it's such a joy. And then the people love us, and then they know our records, they know our movies, and so it's just a love fest. It's like Woodstock every time we go on stage, and so that's what keeps me young. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, my son now is a road manager, and he wasn't even born when Cheech and I started. Cheech and I got together in 69, and then my son was born in 74. And now he's the road manager of the group, and he also writes bits for it. He's a writer as well, and he plays bass in the show too. So you know, it's such a family affair. Oh, but kind of like Willie Nelson. You know, when Willie goes out, he brings his whole family, and that's what I do. And so there's no reason to. It's not a job. It's a vocation.
Yeah, you're almost like you're playing is what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And then when you go on the road, we stay in the nicest hotels. We got nothing to do all day except sleep and eat and work out. And then we go do the show, and then we sign autographs after the show. And then, you know, then we usually go home or go to another gig, which we're going to do. And then we go home. And so we had a weekend. We make a nice bundle, more money than I used to make in a year in one night.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason not to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Why not? Why not? And, you know, we're super late, and we should have left, you know, 15 minutes ago. But one more thing, you were talking about your son and how it's, you know, Up in Smoke was, you know, 40 years ago. That was a huge hit with adults at the time. But then even teenagers, I was a teenager in the 90s. It was a cultural phenomenon for people like me. Did you expect that to span generations?
Not really. No, we had no expectations. You know, when you're doing a movie, you're halfway through the movie, you start thinking about the other movie, the next movie you're going to do. So we had no idea what Up in Smoke was going to, how it was going to affect the world, but it did. It did. It still is. It foreshadowed everything that's going on right now. You know, and not only Up in Smoke, but Nice Dreams, next movie, all the other movies that came after it. You know, like in next movie, we kind of foreshadowed this. You know, in next movie, I said, you know, I'm going to get a job rolling joints one day. That's going to be my job. And you know that there are people now in Canada and in the States and in Germany, that's their job, rolling joints. That's they do all day. So we were the prophets. We were the ones that the groundbreakers, you know. And we still are. We haven't stopped. We're still doing it.
That's got to be a good feeling. Like, again, not to harp on the 80-year-old thing, but 80 years old and still having people in their, you know, 20s looking up to you as being an icon.
Even younger.
Yeah.
I was on Dancing with the Stars in 2014, and I was going, we were in a mall somewhere, and these young girls, they must have been 10 years old with their parents, and they saw me, and they screamed, and their mother came over and said, oh, they're your biggest fans, they follow you on Dancing with the Stars, and I just had a laugh, man. I never had 10-year-old fans before, and there they are. No, my life has been blessed, and it still is being blessed. And if you get a chance to see the show, I know, you know, it's going to be tonight, but if you get a chance, come on down, man. You're going to have a good time.
There we go, everybody. Actually, my understanding is sold out, so I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that. But
place for you.
Okay, all right, we'll touch base after our chat here. But so the rest of the tour dates are on your website, right?
That's right, yeah, everything's on the website. I don't even know where I'm going next.
Okay, we can give the website address though. I think it's cheechandchong.com.
That's it.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to get everybody to check that out, and I'll see you tonight then, I guess, Tommy. I'll hold you to that.
Okay. No, you and the guests.
All right. Will do. Well, Tommy, welcome back to Canada. Thanks for joining us today, Tommy. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.